Good evening.
Nice to be with you. Sorry that Ruth couldn't come along. She came down with a really bad cold a couple of days ago, and going down to camp yesterday didn't help, and so she decided to stay home today. While I'm here, I would just take the opportunity to encourage you to think about weeks 3 and 4 during our sessions at Camp Lailolai this summer. We still need quite a bit of staff in different areas, especially good counselors. We take it easy on the counselors. I absolutely insist that every counselor receive a nice afternoon nap. I come from the land of siestas, and I enjoyed the siesta down in Colombia, so you come down, we'll make sure that you get a little siesta in the afternoon. We're not going to be too hard on you. We'd like some older people there, and we'll protect you a little bit. We'll run guard for you, and yet we're looking for a good week. So if you can come down to camp for weeks 3 and 4, you come along, and we'll find a place for you. I just take a minute also to ask you to continue to pray for the work in Colombia. Very interesting the way the work has developed, and I had an unusual feeling when I was there in January. Lord willing, in another few weeks, the men of the different assemblies throughout Colombia are getting together to organize a camp committee to take over the work at the farm. We had our initial meeting in January when I was there, and after we met for a couple of days, they walked out of this little kiosco or shelter there, and they walked around and they decided some things, some different projects that they ought to do at the farm or the camp. And I stood on the outside of the conversation. And here we've been pushing and struggling for all these years, and now these men are catching the vision of what can be done there. And so as I stood on the outside and I heard them talking about knocking that wall out and taking that roof down, and they weren't asking me, it gave me an unusual feeling. And I realized, in the will of the Lord, that it probably won't be too long before I'll go back, and I'll have to ask permission to go and do different things at the farm, at the camp. We're almost at the end of a phase of our ministry. We saw the assembly start. From that assembly, two other assemblies have pretty well started from that one. The farm now is being taken over, and we're looking to the Lord about going back and what the future holds for us. Our youngest girl is graduating from high school this year, going out to Emmaus, and Ruth and I will be a little freer to travel, and we don't know just where we would fit in the work there, possibly traveling around from different to different assemblies throughout the country. And so be in prayer for the future and what the Lord holds. I don't know whether you heard or not, but just in the last couple of months, Colombia Occidental Petroleum found one of the largest oil finds in the history of oil finds, even bigger than the North Sea. So it's going to convert the country supposedly into a rich country if it gets in the hands of the right people. And so we don't know just exactly what the future holds there, but pray for Colombia. Let's just bow again in prayer. Father, we're really happy tonight to be here. We ask, Lord, that you would bind Satan as we come here. We claim the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, Father, as we open your word, as we would hear your voice, that you would speak, Father, forcibly to us. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us in every way. We'll give you the honor and the praise and the glory forever through the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 20, reading from verse 17. I've never spoken on this particular passage of Scripture before. Acts 20, verse 17. We're going to read through verse 28. Actually, 11 verses this evening. Verse 17 reads in Acts 20, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and trials which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God in faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions wait me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I testify unto you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then it says in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. We actually could continue on reading this chapter tonight, but we'll have a hard time getting through just these verses that we've read. This is the farewell of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian church or the Ephesian elders. Can you picture what Paul must have been thinking as he knew what was lying in wait for him ahead? And as he called the church together, I can picture this missionary scene. You know, I never come home from Colombia after being with the Christians there, but I leave with a kind of a tug in my heart for the believers there. Part of me is there. As I go out to the airport and get on the airplane and come home, I leave a part of me there. And as I look at the city, as I fly up over the city and out over the Caribbean, there's a part of Harvey Rogers that stays there. And you know, the Apostle Paul is thinking of this particular church, the Ephesian church, and he calls them all together. He calls the elders together, and he gives them some last-minute instructions, so to speak. Now, it's interesting, I think, in verse 17. I'm just going to comment quickly on verses 17 to 23, and then we're going to focus in on 24. But in verse 17, he calls the elders of the church. I like that. The elders, the plurality of leadership, he calls them together of the church. Don't ever be deceived to be led in the wrong way. Be led by elders, elders of the church. And then in verse 18 it says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons. These people knew him. They knew the tears and the trials and the struggles, as it says in the next verse, and that he served the Lord with real humility of mind as he poured himself out to these believers. He gave everything that he could give, and as he went through all kinds of difficulties to proclaim and to preach the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a testimony that is, to be poured out like the Apostle Paul was here. And then in verse 20 it says, and how I kept back nothing, serving the Lord and not keeping back a thing. Lots of times when we serve the Lord, we hold a little back for reserve. We might hold some of our money back. We might hold some of our energy, our time. Whatever we have, we might hold it back for different reasons. But the Apostle Paul says that he didn't hold anything back. He gave everything out to these people. He held nothing back that was profitable unto you. And then it says, but has shown you and have taught you publicly. Not only teaching, but showing as well. And then verse 22, and it says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. If we were to go over to the next chapter, the Apostle Paul, at one point in his ministry, that the believers at Tyre, they took his belt and tied his hands and feet and showed what was going to happen to him as he went to Jerusalem. And as there was weeping taking place, the Apostle Paul said, well, you're going to break my heart. And yet, none of these things were to move the Apostle Paul. He wanted to continue and to fulfill his ministry. But I want to look particularly at verse 24. It says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. I want you to think about this week, to finish your course with joy. You know, that's my prayer. My prayer is that I'm going to be able to finish my ministry with joy. A lot of people never get to the point of really finishing their ministries. Paul here, he could have been sidetracked very easily by fear. There were people coming up to him and saying, well, Paul, you shouldn't go, you shouldn't do this. And he could have let that fear grip him to the point where his ministry would be through. We can't let fear grip us for one reason or another. Paul was free of that. He said, I don't want this to encumber me so that I can be free to finish the ministry, my ministry with joy, the course that God had set out for him to carry on. We never really retire in the Lord's work, do we? Oftentimes we hear the term senior citizen. I don't know whether I shared this with you before, but any time I ever use that with my mother, she gets very upset with me for ever saying senior citizen or golden ager. We don't come to the point that we've earned a rest. We get so far and we say, well, I'm looking at 62 when I'm going to be receiving something from Social Security, and then I can sit down and I can retire from the ministry. May God help us to finish the ministry that He has given each one of us to do. That even up until the very end of our lives, there we are going on and serving the Lord. I was moved the other night to see Bill Deans come to Rochester. And as he spoke and thinking that he's going to be back in Africa in a couple of weeks, he's going to be visiting different assemblies. There's a man in, at least in his 70s, and he's still going on. He doesn't know how long he's going to be in Africa. That's the way I want to be when I'm in my 70s, Lord willing, to be active and to be going on for the Lord and get away from this idea that I go along so long and then I earn my rest and I can sit down and I can retire. I can go to Florida. I can come up here in the summer or whatever, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But as long as we're active in the ministry of the Lord, wherever we are, to say, God, what's my ministry for today? Can I serve you today? What do you have for me to do today to finish the course that God has given me to do? For young people, I want to ask you a question. For older people, where are you going to be 10 years from tonight? Are you going to be continuing on in the ministry? Are you going to be somewhere in the corner of God's vineyard doing something for Him, carrying on the ministry that God has given you? Are you just going to toss it aside and say, well, you know, I've done enough. Let somebody else do it. I've fought my battles. I'm going to stop. Let someone else carry the load. God help us that we would never stop with that ministry, that course that God has given us. And you know, that means marriage too. Sometimes when we get to the point in a marriage, things don't go well. And we say, well, you know, maybe it's time to stop being married. You know, God tells us that we've made a commitment. We've made a commitment to another person. We've made that commitment before other witnesses, and to carry on and to finish that commitment. You know what I'm going to do the next time I officiate at a wedding? After I pronounce them husband and wife, I'm going to have everybody come down front, one by one or two by two, and this is the way it should be done. We're going to take the guest book. Instead of passing the guest book around at the reception, we're going to take the guest book right here, and everybody's going to come down, and they're going to sign that guest book. And then we're going to give that guest book to the married couple, and they can take that, and they can put that somewhere in their house, and they can remember that if anything ever goes wrong and they don't feel like finishing the course, finishing the commitment, they should look at that book, that testimony of all of those people who came and signed that book. You know, I've found out quite a few things about a wedding, what a wedding signifies, why we do different things, why the bride's family sits on one side and why the groom's family sits on another side. When a covenant was made years ago in Old Testament times, they'd take an animal, they'd split the animal, they'd walk through the animal or walk between the animal. And the parts of the animal, and this is it signifies the sacrifices that the bride's family and all of her friends have made, and the groom's family, the runner that comes down, that signifies holy ground. Actually, the parents should come down on the runner. All kinds of things. The groom coming out first, he initiates the covenant. packed with all kinds of meaning. And I'm just off here for a second, but really, this all signifies that we're to finish the course, whatever that course is for us, whether it's marriage, whether it's working in a Sunday school class, you've taken a commitment, you've made a commitment, and to continue that commitment until you're relieved of it at the right time. So, to finish my course with joy. Is that your prayer? How often we get sidetracked. I heard Dr. Harlow speak a couple of weeks ago at a missionary conference. In fact, it was up in Boston, and he was at the conference, and I was sharing the platform with him, and he was quoting Bill McRae, who was in the City of London. And Bill McRae wrote an article about people who were Satan worshippers in the City of London, Ontario, and how they had targeted 10 evangelical ministers in the City of London, that these 10 people would be eliminated from the ministry. And in the course of a year, something like 6 of the 10 were eliminated from the ministry. You know, there are a lot of things that will be forces that work against us to stop and to quit. But you know, the Apostle Paul says here, to finish my course with joy. Is that your prayer tonight? Whether it's marriage, whether it's a commitment, a job that you've taken on for the Lord, looking ahead to serving the Lord into your 70s, your 80s, how many days the Lord gives you to finish that course and to finish it with real joy. Now, that's another part of it too, isn't it? Not just to finish the course, but to finish the course with joy, with a smile on the face, and to be happy right to the end. You ever see people who get older and older, and they oftentimes get bitter, and they've had knocks and bruises along the way, and scrapes and so forth, and difficulties, disappointments, and it's so easy to become bitter. The Apostle Paul says, to finish my course with joy, with real pleasure before the Lord, realizing what the Lord has laid out for me. You know, one of the things that helps us to have that joy is to realize that work that we have for the Lord comes from the Lord. If somebody comes and asks you to teach a Sunday school class, it's very easy to think that person really asked you to do it. But really, you're doing that work for whom? Are you doing it for the elders? Are you doing it for the Sunday school superintendent? No, you're doing that work for the Lord. And remember that. You're serving the Lord, the ministry before the Lord. And that helps us a great deal to have that joy. The Apostle Paul, when he was in jail, he had even joy when he was going through that kind of suffering. And then it says that he had received his ministry of the Lord Jesus in verse 24. Again, that's so important for us to remember that work that we do for the Lord comes from the Lord. We're serving the Lord. As we clean the chapel or as we do some work for the Lord, you think, well, I'm actually doing this for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were asked to clean this chapel or to do some special job and you knew that the Lord Jesus Christ were coming and going to be a part of what you're cleaning this place for, the work that you're doing, how would you prepare? How would you do that job? You say, well, I guess I'd really work pretty hard at it. I'd do a super job on it if I knew that He were coming. And as you do your work before the Lord, you're doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it for another person. You're doing it for Him. And that gives us great joy as we think of that, as we serve Him. And what else do we have here? Paul talks about testifying of the gospel of the grace of God. And I want to spend a few minutes on this tonight. We have a great salvation. We oftentimes share that, don't we? We come in the morning meeting and how good it is for us to rejoice. We had a wonderful morning meeting this morning at Congress in Rochester, and I trust you did too here. But it is wonderful to come together and to pour out our hearts in praise to the Lord for what He's done for us. That great salvation. And this is the Apostle Paul's desire here, that he had this commission to testify the gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was his special mission, his ministry, that course that God had given to him to go and to testify to all people. And he wanted to be able to finish that and to carry it on. We have a great salvation, don't we? I think of my father who passed away a few years ago. I go out from time to time to the cemetery, and you know, my mother did something very interesting at the cemetery. She took a big boulder, had a big boulder taken off the farm and had it blasted in half, and the inscription for my father's tombstone is written on that boulder from the farm. That's kind of a nice idea. But you know, there it is. It's quite big. A lot of the stones in the cemetery, they aren't nearly that big. But as I go there once in a while to my father's grave, I stand there and I think of my dad, a very kind man, a lot of things that he taught me. But you know, I think someday that person, that body, that tent, you see, he shed his tent or his tabernacle. We took that tent or that tabernacle to the cemetery one day, and we put that into the ground. But you know what's going to happen to that tent and that tabernacle? I'm telling you, it's going to come out of there someday with real power and with real might, and that big boulder that's at the head of that grave, it's going to come rolling back, and my dad's going to have a mighty ride to heaven. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? We have a great salvation. And the Apostle Paul is talking about testifying to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the same salvation, the salvation to know for sure that you're going to be in heaven, to have your sins forgiven. My father, as we went to that cemetery, we took that body, and it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that body was really sown in corruption, but it's going to be raised in incorruption. It was sown in dishonor, but it's going to be raised in glory. It was sown a natural body. It's going to be raised a spiritual body. And you know, my father, for the last 2 or 3 years of his life, as he failed and failed and hardly knew who he was at the very end, his body was sown in weakness. He was very, very weak at the end of his life. And that body that we took, it was sown in weakness. But praise God, it's going to come out of there with power and with might. That's the great salvation that we have. And that's the message that we can share with people, that we can take and carry the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that good news just isn't for us to keep. That good news is for us to share. D.L. Moody said on his deathbed, he said, you know, you're going to hear a rumor in a little while that D.L. Moody's dead. But he said, I want to tell you something. He said, don't believe a word of it. Because when they say that D.L. Moody's dead, I want you to know that D.L. Moody's going to be more alive than he's ever been in all his life. He's going to be alive forevermore. We're not going to die as Christians. We're going to continue on and to live forever. What a blessed thought it is. And you know, that salvation is available to absolutely anyone. About 3 weeks ago, I went down to the Monroe County Jail and took a Bible study. The chaplain asked me to come down and take a Bible study. And as I was taking the study, there were a number of men there, and I looked at this one man. He had a little beard, and I looked at him, and I thought, you know, I have seen you somewhere. And I went through the Bible study. He said a few things and seemed obviously to be a Christian the way he was responding. So after the Bible study, I went downstairs and had lunch with the chaplain, and he said, you know, Harvey, he said, Robert Riley was in your Bible study. And I said, Robert Riley? I said, well, you know, I happened to meet him. And you know, he, just about 2 days before I went to Columbia in January, just near our house, about 2 blocks from our house, this man got up one morning and he committed the most horrendous crime against his family. Killed his whole family. And there he was in the Bible study. And you know, I told this chaplain, I said, you know, it's very interesting. We looked at the same house that family bought, and last summer I went to their garage sale. And I said, I thought I recognized him. He said, well, you know, he said, let me call him down. He said, I'll let you talk with him. So he called Robert Riley down, and we sat there and we talked for probably 15 or 20 minutes. What a moving experience to talk with him. And you know, he makes somewhat of a profession of knowing the Lord Jesus. He uses his name freely and seems to be a broken man, and he chokes up as he thinks of his family. He said, you know, I don't know why I would ever do anything like that. And as I sat there and saw the sorrow and the grief in that man, and as I prayed with him finally, and as I held his hands, those hands that it's repugnant to think of a man committing such a horrendous crime. And as I held those hands and as I prayed with him, I thought, what can take away this man's sin? Is there anything that could cleanse this man? You know, as I prayed with him, and that man was a broken man. And as I left the jail that day, I was singing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And we sing the hymn, "Broader than the scope of all my transgression." Isn't it great to know that regardless of whatever has happened in our lives, that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It washes us whiter than snow. How wonderful that is. That great salvation that we have that can cleanse even a person like that. And then you go through the scriptures and you think of an apostle Paul who consented unto the death of Stephen. How many people did the apostle Paul, the same one who's now testifying of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same one who went out and did all kinds of despicable things. He made havoc of the church. He was a havoc maker. And yet God in His grace and in His mercy reached down and saved the Apostle Paul. That's the great salvation that we have. And it's absolutely available to each one of us. Should this make us well up with great joy and to take that message and to carry it to the ends of the earth. I couldn't help but think and been convicted in the last weeks last summer, if I had made more of an effort to testify and to witness to this man. I was right there. I met his family. I was right there at the garage sale. I talked with him. And you know, there I was. I had that opportunity. How many times do we have opportunities to share this great salvation that we praise the Lord for? Do we care to take that message? The Apostle Paul said, "This is my message. I want to finish my course with joy. I want to be able to testify of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ right up to the end of his life." And then, as it goes on here, it says that he wanted to be free from the blood of all men. Are you free tonight of the blood of all men? Are you absolutely free? Are there people that you know that you should have taken the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to? We have that responsibility to share. How are they going to hear without a preacher? And those people that are around us, to be able to witness to them. And this challenges my heart as I think of the message that we have to take, to be able to finish our course. You might not have the gift of an evangelist. Everyone can do some of the work of an evangelist. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Do the work of an evangelist." You might not have the gift, but do some of the work. We know in Acts 1 that everyone is a witness. We're witnesses to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might not have the gift of evangelism, but we can witness and we can tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight we come and we realize again the freshness and the realness of this salvation, this great salvation that we have, this great salvation that we have to carry to the ends of the earth. You know, sometimes it's very hard for us to witness, but you know, as we witness to people, to just encourage people to come in childlike faith to come before the Lord. Sometimes I think we become too theological as we try to explain the way of salvation, but just to ask people to come as a child, to come in simple faith and believe the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He has done. Oh, for that childlike faith, and may we preach the Word in that way. About a month and a half ago, I had a ruptured vein in my foot, and I was in bed for about 3 weeks. And as I lay there in bed, oh, it was a long 3 weeks. A little boy in the assembly there, we train our young men to be elders, soon. They're young. He's only 2 and a half. He came over with his mother, and so he walked into the house, and he had never seen me in bed before. He'd seen me many times at the chapel, but he walked into the bedroom, and he took a look at me, and his eyes got so big. Little Daniel Milligan, Wes and Janet's little boy, and he looked at me, and his eyes got real big, and he said, "What happened?" And so I tried to explain to little Daniel what had happened, and he walked around the bottom of the bed, and he looked up at me, and he said, "I pray for you." I thought, wasn't that nice little guy? You know, touch my heart to have this little guy come in when I was feeling So absolutely low. And he says, I'd pray for you. And so I didn't know whether he was going to pray for a minute, and I just lay there and thought, well, I just wait and see what happens. He didn't quite know what to do, so I said, well, you come on up here, Daniel. I said, we'll pray. And so I took his hand and we prayed. And I thanked the Lord for little Daniel and his faith and a little guy and his desire. And as soon as I said amen, he looked up at me in childlike faith. You know what he said? He said, all better. All better. Just like that. Prayer, he just equated it. There I was, praying, and as soon as we said amen, all better. That's the message that we can take. Just simple childlike faith to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to ask for forgiveness of sins. So may the Lord help us in these few thoughts that we've had tonight. We could look at verse 27. It says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, preaching the whole counsel. And then verse 28, I really like, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. What a responsibility to have that imparting or the seal of the Spirit to be or to do the work of an overseer, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And I wonder today if we would just think about these few thoughts here in chapter 20. To be able to finish your course with joy. Are you a joyous Christian? You get tired of the work of the Lord sometimes. You just say, well, you know, maybe I've had enough. No. To finish. To have that prayer. To finish the work of the Lord. Your ministry with joy. And to finish the ministry which I have received of the Lord, and to also testify of the grace of the gospel of the grace of God, and then to be free of the blood of all men, and just some of these thoughts that we've shared tonight. What a responsibility we have. You know, we think of the judgment and what it's going to be like to step out before the Lord. It's going to be quite a scene, isn't it, someday, at the judgment seat? But think of the great white throne as people step out before the Lord. See, I don't think we're going to be able, as I pictured, we're not going to be able to take all of our buddies up with us and walk out and have a lot of support from other people. To step out alone before the Lord. And as these friends and these people that we should testify to as they step out, as my own relatives, I'm really burdened for my own family. Members of my wife's family particularly, who don't know the Lord. To witness and to try and see them when I think of them stepping out before the Lord. You know, it says that they're going to say, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, they're going to be crying out. They're going to be as close to heaven as they've ever been. How do you think they're going to say that? If I ask each of you to come up here tonight and to give me a playback on how they're going to say, Lord, Lord, are they going to just stand up there in kind of a philosophical way and say, well, Lord, Lord? Or are they going to be down on their knees crying out to a holy and a righteous God, saying with everything they have in them, Lord, Lord, crying out as hard as they can, pleading for mercy and pleading for salvation. And you know, in a very stoic way, as it says, the Lord says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And they're going to bring up all of the good works that they've ever done in their lives, and yet it's not going to be enough. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so may the Lord help us tonight to carry that ministry, to carry that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Let's pray.